The Lord's put on my heart just to speak to you about the flesh wars against the spirit. The flesh wars against the spirit. Go with me to the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth," that word lusteth, it's a Greek word and it really means to war. It says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Verse 17 again says, "For the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit warreth against the flesh." Let's pray. Lord, we love you again. And again, Lord, we just thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for your goodness to us today. God, we have been blessed by your faithfulness today. Lord, you are a faithful God. And Lord, we give you all honor and we give you all glory and we give you all praise for your faithfulness, Lord. And God, I just pray that you would just take this word. Help me to speak it clearly. Help me to convey it with your heart. And God, just encourage my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Father, we went through a season, a long season, where you dealt very intently with the issues of our heart. God, and it's been a season of repentance, but Lord, you've been giving us now messages, Lord, of strength and encouragement. God, and Lord, just again bringing things before our heart, Lord, that are just so vital to us, Lord, and strengthening, encouraging us. And Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you for all that you're doing within our life. And Lord, we just give you all honor and we give you all glory. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us that there is a war going on inside of our being between the flesh and the spirit. And we have this war going on inside of our being between the flesh and the spirit because we as Christians, we still have to deal with this sin nature, that we have a sin nature that we have to deal with. And so this war between the flesh and the spirit comes out of this dealing with the sin nature. And I have believers and Christians tell me that when someone is born again, they no longer have a sin nature. I have them tell me that. But my reply is simply this. If you do not believe you have a sin nature, why don't you sit down in front of the television for about an hour, watch its garbage for about an hour, and you'll find out real fast you have a sin nature. Now, of course, when I say that, I'm not serious. I'm not saying do that. I'm just trying to make a point that we do have a flesh and we have a sin nature that we have to deal with. Paul says here, he says, "Walk ye in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." That, brothers and sisters, because of the sin nature, because of this flesh that we have to make, every day that we're confronted with choices, we have to make choices. Again, Paul says, "Walk ye in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Walking in the spirit, being led by the spirit, has everything to do with making choices. The Holy Spirit shows us what is sin and what is godly. He shows us what is right and what is wrong. He shows us what is Christ-like and what is not Christ-like. He shows us what is acceptable to the Lord and what is unacceptable to the Lord. And then we have a choice that we have to make. When we choose to walk in obedience to the Holy Spirit and to walk in the path of the Lord's way, it's then when we make the choice, the Holy Spirit empowers us to make the choice. When we make the choice to resist sin, when we make choice to mortify the deeds of the body, when we make the choice to crucify the flesh, when the flesh is trying to act up and have its way, when we make that choice to do that, the Holy Spirit comes and He empowers that choice. He gives us the power to mortify the deeds of the body. He gives us the power to tell sin, no, I'm not going to obey you. My members, I'm yielding my members to the Lord. He gives us the power to put off the old man and put on the new man. The Holy Spirit empowers us. But walking in the Spirit, so many people, they really don't understand what it means to walk in the Spirit. It simply means every day allowing the Holy Ghost to govern the choices of your life. And when we make the choices that are pleasing to the Lord, the Holy Spirit's power is there to walk out that choice. Now, with this in mind, I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter 14. Go with me to Genesis chapter 14, verse 17. It says, "And the king of Sodom went out to meet Abram after his return from the slaughter of Kedemarah and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaba, which is the king's dell. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thine hand.' And he gave him tithes of all." And Abram gave him tithes of all. Now, these few scriptures that we read, there's actually many truths that we could bring out. But this morning, I just want to keep it simple. I just really want to keep it right to the point of what the Lord is speaking to us this morning. Here we find two kings. This is what I want everybody to understand, okay? Here we find two kings, two kingdoms presenting itself to Abram. We find the kingdom of Sodom, which clearly represents the flesh, the depravity of the flesh, the ungodliness of the flesh. And we find King Melchizedek, who clearly represents the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of the Lord. So we find two kingdoms presenting itself to Abraham. And what I want us to understand is that when we look at this story, you look at it closely, you will see that Abraham is confronted with a choice. There's a choice that he has to make. If Abraham chooses to entertain the king of Sodom and entertain the offer that the king of Sodom is bringing before him, then he is going to forfeit the ministry and the blessing of King Melchizedek. And if he chooses to walk in the pathway of King Melchizedek's blessing, then he's going to have to turn away from the table of Sodom. So here we see, when you look at this story, Abraham has a choice he needs to make. And again, before you move on, we need to understand that being led by the Spirit and walking in the Spirit is all about making choices. It's all about letting the Holy Ghost govern the choices of our life and being empowered to walk out those choices. And Abraham has a choice here. Now, let's just briefly talk about these two kings that come before Abraham. First of all, we see the king of Sodom bringing himself before Abram. And again, Sodom represents the flesh, represents the depravity of the flesh, because we know that Sodom was a wicked city wholly given to the flesh. And brothers and sisters, my point is, because of the sin nature, every believer has areas that they can be tempted in. Every believer. Because we all possess a sin nature. Some may have places in their life where they can be tempted, and other places do not. But we all have areas where the enemy can come. And the enemy knows what those places of temptation are. And the enemy knows what our places of weaknesses are, and he comes with temptation to try to exploit those weaknesses. That's what he comes to do. He wants to exploit those weaknesses in our life. So when these temptations come, and he brings these temptations towards and into our life, it's then that this battle takes place between the flesh and the spirit. And sometimes the war with the flesh can be very intense. Listen, if before you got saved, all you knew was sin, then you know what I'm talking about. Because sometimes this war with the flesh can be so intense, because the enemy will come, and there will be just seasons and times where he will bombard your mind with old thoughts. He'll bombard your mind with old lusts. He'll bombard your mind with all these things. The attack on the mind that he brings is very vicious. The enemy knows that when you're at your weakest, the enemy comes in the time when you're weary. He comes in the time when you're feeling weak, and he comes at these times, and he just begins to bombard the mind with old thoughts and old lusts and all these things. The war with the flesh at times can be very intense. But in this story, we also see another king. King Melchizedek, who represents the kingdom of Christ. And in this story, I believe we truly see where the believer's victory lies over the flesh. This is what I want to talk about. I want to look at this kingdom, and I want to talk about the victory that we have over the flesh here. I believe the Lord shows us very clearly the victory, and how do we walk in victory over the flesh here in this story, very clearly. Now, in this story, King Melchizedek brings himself before Abraham. And what I want us to know this morning is the word Melchizedek. Remember, he represents Christ. In Hebrew, it clearly shows that he represents Christ. Many people think that this is Christ come incarnate. There's two sides of that. Many think that he's just a king from Salem who represents Christ, who's a very godly king. And others believe that he is a typology of Christ, that this is actually Christ. But we see from the book of Hebrews that he clearly represents the kingdom of Christ. So King Melchizedek comes to Abraham. And what I want us to understand is the word Melchizedek means king of righteousness. King of righteousness. Now, brothers and sisters, I truly believe that this is where our strength begins to walk in victory over the flesh. It begins with understanding that Jesus is the King of righteousness. It begins with understanding that there is absolutely no righteousness apart from Jesus Christ, and that He is my righteousness. Brothers and sisters, I believe the strength to walk in the victory over the flesh begins with understanding that being in Christ, I am absolutely righteous in the eyes of God. That He has made me righteous. And when the condemnation of the enemy comes and the lies of the enemy comes and the temptation of the enemy comes, when he comes with his temptation and his lies and his condemnation, I don't have to give in to the condemnation. I don't have to believe and walk in agreement with his lies, because it doesn't matter. Even if I'm being bombarded in my mind and the enemy is bombarding me and he's tempted me, I am still perfectly and absolutely righteous in the sight of God. Righteous in the sight of the Lord. In time of temptation, we have to understand that we do have a sin nature. That's why we're being tempted. We will be tempted. We will always have to deal with the flesh. But in the meantime, while I'm having to deal with the flesh and crucify the flesh, I am robed in Christ's perfect righteousness, and God sees me perfectly righteous. I believe that's where the strength begins. Now, in the midst of this warfare going on between the flesh and the spirit, when we truly know that we are righteous with God, what will the result be? Well, look at Genesis chapter 14, and I want you to look at verse 18. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. Now, listen to this. King Melchizedek, the king of righteousness, was from a city called Salem. And that word is actually a Hebrew word, and it means peace. Peace. Now listen to me. It means peace. It's powerful. And my point is, what is the result when you truly understand that Christ is your righteousness and you are made righteous in Christ? What will the result be? The result will be a deep inner peace in the heart. Now, yes, there's going to be a warfare between the flesh and the spirit. And yes, there are times I'm going to fall in heavy temptation. But deep down inside, I have peace because I'm not feeling condemned by the battle that I'm having with my flesh. A lot of people, when they go into temptation and when they start having the battle with this flesh and crucify this flesh, a lot of people who truly don't understand they're made righteous in Christ, they begin to sink in condemnation. They begin to go under condemnation. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But when you truly understand that you're righteous, yeah, you're going to crucify this flesh, and you're going to war with this flesh, and you're going to lay a hold of the grace of God and mortify the deeds of the body. But in the midst of all that warfare, deep in your heart, there is a deep inner peace that is your strength. Because you know, even though I'm warring with this flesh, and I'm putting down this flesh, and the lies of the enemy are coming, I am righteous in the sight of God. I am righteous because His blood has cleansed me. I am righteous because I am forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when He forgave me, He took my sin on the cross and He clothed me in His righteousness. And I am righteous in the eyes of the Lord. Now here's my point. Understand, this is where many lose their strength and lose their battles in times of temptation. Because they do not truly know that they are righteous, in times of temptation and having to deal with their flesh, the enemy condemns them and makes them feel like they're just awful and wretched, that God still sees them as an awful person, and they lose their joy and peace because of that. And when you lose your joy and peace, you lose your strength. Brothers and sisters, do you understand? The enemy is a master at bombarding your mind with thoughts and condemning you at the same time. You understand that? The enemy is a master of bombarding your thoughts and accusing you at the same time. At the same time, he'll bring his temptations and war against your flesh and bombard your mind with thoughts. And at the same time he's doing that, he's accusing you and condemning you. Look at what's in your thoughts. Oh, you ungodly person. You wretched person in the sight of God. Brothers and sisters, we have to understand we do have a sin nature and we are going to face temptations and we have to crucify that flesh and mortify the deeds of the body. But while we are doing that, we are absolutely righteous in the sight of the Lord. And that's where the strength comes from. That's where the peace comes from. If we do not truly know that we are absolutely righteous in Christ and we do not have this peace in our hearts, then in temptation, we will lose our strength and cave in to the condemnation. That's why so many cannot get victory over besetting sin. That's why they give in to the same besetting sin over and over and over again. Because the enemy comes and he condemns them. He'll put the temptation, he'll bombard our minds with thoughts, and he'll accuse us at the same time. And because we truly don't understand I'm righteous in Christ and have this peace in our heart, we cave in to the condemnation, we lose our strength, and we find ourselves falling over and over and over again. I believe our strength to live above the flesh begins with this. I am righteous in the sight of God. And there's a peace in my heart because of it, because I know that. Here are three things we as believers have to understand. Very simple, but very basic, but very vital. Number one, we do have a sin nature. We have to understand that. We have a sin nature. Because we have a sin nature, we're going to have to deal with our flesh. We're going to have to deal with temptation. But because we understand we have a sin nature, it shouldn't surprise us when the lusts of the flesh rise up and we find ourselves being tempted in errors. That shouldn't surprise us. It shouldn't surprise us. And when we find ourselves being tempted in errors, we shouldn't condemn ourselves. And we shouldn't allow the enemy to condemn us. Because we have a sin nature we have to deal with. Secondly, we have to understand that even though we have to deal with this sin nature, God sees us as absolutely righteous. I want to show you some scriptures. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 1 and then verse 7. Verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Look at verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father. Now, Go with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Verse 1 says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. Let's go one more. Go with me to Colossians, chapter 1. Verse 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. In Paul's opening address to these churches, and there's other churches, he says the same thing in Thessalonica, other churches. But in his opening address, what's the one thing that we see in common regarding these churches? The one thing that we see they have in common is they're called saints. Paul refers to them as saints. Now, in the Greek, that word saint means most holy ones. What Paul is saying is, in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are most holy. You are a most holy one in the eyes of God. Now, brothers and sisters, this is what I want you to understand. Nowhere in the New Testament does God ever refer to a born-again Christian as a sinner. He doesn't. God does not see his born-again people as sinners. That's not how he sees them. They're washed in the blood. They're born again. They're clothed in righteousness. God says, you are a most holy one. When you're not going through temptation, you are a most holy one. When you're going through temptation, you are a most holy one. When you're not having the battle with the flesh today, you're a most holy one. And when you wake up in the morning, as soon as your eyes hit that roof and the enemy's there to bombard your thoughts, you are a most holy one. That's how the Lord sees his people, because they've been washed in that blood. They've been clothed. So we need to understand, yes, we do have a sin nature we have to deal with, but God sees us as absolutely righteous, and that's where your peace and your strength comes from in the midst of this battle. I want to say it again. If we truly do not understand in the midst of our temptations and battles and having to deal with the flesh, if we truly do not understand, I am perfectly righteous in the eyes of God, there will be no peace and we will cave into the condemnation. And that's why there are so many believers who have no victory over sin. Because they just cave into the condemnation because they don't have the peace of that in their heart in the midst of the battles. God says, you are most holy. Beloved, in times of temptation, this is where our strength comes from. Our strength comes from this. I am absolutely pleasing to my Father. I do not have to feel condemned because I am in a place of great temptation. God is pleased with me. I want to show you something. Go with me to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So here we see that even Jesus went through an hour of temptation. But before the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted, what occurred first? Look with me at chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Before Jesus went into this time of great temptation, there was a fresh revelation that came to his heart. It's simply this, I am so pleased with you, my Son. Before Jesus went into his time of great temptation, there was a revelation that came to his heart. My Father is absolutely pleased with me. And brothers and sisters, this is our strength. When we go in our own times of temptation, our strength is in knowing I am clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And God is absolutely pleased with me. I don't have to live in the condemnation. I don't have to listen to the lies that bring condemnation. I do not have to cave into the condemnation. I am wholly pleasing to my Father. That's strength. That is strength. In times of our own personal temptation, this needs to be so ingrained in my heart. In my time of temptation, in those times of having to deal with my flesh, I do not feel condemned. I am clothed in Christ's righteousness, and I am absolutely pleasing to my Father. And that's where your strength comes from. First of all, we need to understand we do have a sin nature. And because we have a sin nature, we're going to have to deal with this flesh, and we're going to have to encounter temptation. But secondly, we have to understand, listen, I know it sounds so simple, but this is where so many believers are defeated. We have to also understand, though I have to deal with this flesh and crucify this flesh, I don't have to cave into the lies and the condemnation of the enemy. I am absolutely perfectly pleasing to my Father. He sees me as righteous. And when that peace is in your heart, there's so much strength in that. And thirdly, we need to understand that God is doing a good work in our hearts, and we need to be confident in God's power. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus, which simply means until Jesus comes back every single day of our life, he is doing a good work in our heart till he comes back. And we need to be confident in his power to sanctify our hearts. Amen. I want to end the message by going back to Genesis chapter 14. Looking at these two kingdoms presenting itself to Abraham. One clearly representing the flesh and the other clearly representing the kingdom of Christ. And Abraham having to make the choice. Look at verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, in other words, the king of righteousness from the city of peace, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. It says that he brought forth bread and wine. And to me, just thinking about this, to me, the wine simply represents the Holy Spirit. I mean, it come from King Melchizedek, so I don't see anything impure about this wine. I'm not going to get into fermented, unfermented. I'm just saying that to me, it clearly represents the Spirit of God. And what we have to understand is we have been given all the resources we need to resist temptation. We've been given the Holy Spirit. We have been given all the power we need to resist temptation. We have all the power to crucify the flesh, to mortify the deeds of the body, to put off the works of darkness, to lay down every sin and weight that easily besets us, to put off the old man. These are all commandments of Christ, commandments of him. Mortify the deeds of the body, crucify the flesh, put off the old man, put off works of darkness. These are all commandments of Christ. And if his people couldn't do it, he would have never commanded it. But the Lord says, I put a power within you, the Holy Spirit. You can crucify the flesh. You can put off the old man. In times of temptation and weakness, I give you the power to mortify the deeds of the body. But again, I truly believe that many Christians lose their strength because they truly do not understand they are fully righteous in God's eyes and rest in that truth. In times of great temptation, they lose their rest and they cave into the lies and the condemnation of the enemy over and over again. But you have to understand, Melchizedek not only gave him wine, but he gave him bread, which to me represents the word of God. Now, I want to end with something that I heard Brother Hamp say. I want to end with something that he said, talking about the Word of God. I want you to go with me to the book of Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Look at verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. Everybody mark that down. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. This is what I want to give you. This is something Brother Hamp said that really ministered to me. You look in this scripture, you'll see how meditation upon the word and victory go together. You shall meditate upon the word, and you shall have success in going in and driving out the enemy and taking the inheritance that is yours. Now, with that said, talking about meditating upon the Word, there are powerful scriptures in the Word of God that clearly tell us that we are made righteous in Jesus Christ, and that clearly tell us, being that we possess the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the peace of God will keep our hearts. The peace of God should keep our hearts. Brothers and sisters, it is astounding. There are verses in the Bible, we're going to look at them in a minute. Wherever there's righteousness, there is peace. And when we truly get this understanding, it doesn't matter what temptations or how I'm having to deal with this flesh. I am righteous in Jesus Christ. When we truly have that in our heart, there is such a peace that will keep your heart. There is such a peace that will be a strength to your soul, because we're not caving into the condemnation of the enemy. I want to look at some scriptures. Let's just read a few of them. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 32. We're just going to read a few. Verse 17 says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." Go with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Go with me to chapter 14, Romans 14, verse 17. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." There's many scriptures in the Bible that talking about having peace with God. And there's many scriptures in the Bible where it talks about having righteousness. There's peace that comes with righteousness. And brothers and sisters, my point is simply this. It's when we meditate upon the Word of God that God begins to engraft these truths into our heart, and that they become real to our heart, and that we begin to walk in the revelation of that truth because the light begins to shine in our heart. And my final thought, what I'm trying to say is simply this, is if we struggle with condemnation, especially in times when we're just under the temptation of our life, and we're having to deal with this flesh, and the enemy comes in with these lies and these condemnation, if we really struggle with that condemnation, I would truly recommend getting into this Bible and looking at these verses and studying these verses and meditating upon these verses until it gets into our heart and becomes real. You know, there's a story I love in the Bible, in the Old Testament, about how when Jacob wanted the sheep to be spotted, he would take some sticks and curve little spots in them and put them before the sheep, and they would look at this, and it's not that the sticks were producing sheep. God's revealing a spiritual truth here. They would put these spotted sticks in front of these sheep, and they would have spotted babies. And then he would take these sticks and he would carve rings around them, and he would put it before the sheep when they were mating, and then they would have sheep that had rings and speckles. And there's a truth there the Lord is showing us. You know what that truth is? Whatever you put before your heart, that's what you're going to produce. And if we keep these scriptures before our heart, well, I am righteous in Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. He who knew no sin became sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God. Paul says, not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness that is in faith in Jesus Christ. If we will keep those scriptures before our hearts and meditate upon these scriptures will begin to come alive in our heart. And when we truly begin to understand, you know what? I am made righteous in Jesus. That's where your peace comes. That's where your peace comes. And in times when you're having to deal with the flesh, and having to deal with temptation, that peace is in your heart, and that peace is your strength, because you're not giving in to the condemnation of the enemy. Brothers and sisters, I have been through that. I know what I'm talking about. When the temptations come, if you truly do not understand, I am perfectly righteous in Jesus Christ, if you truly don't understand that, you'll cave into the condemnation because you have no resource. You have no strength, I want to say. But when you understand that he is your righteousness, he is the King of righteousness, it doesn't matter what warfare you're going through, the peace that keeps your heart. I wasn't going to bring this up, but let me just say this real quick. It said that the king of Sodom was from Shaba, was from a place called Shaba. Shaba simply means a plain, in other words, a flat field. That's where this king of Sodom was from. That's where it says. And when I saw a plain, a city of a plain, I couldn't help but think about Zechariah 4:10. Who art thou, O great mountain? For Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And just thinking about that story, you know what? Sodom, king of Sodom, does represent the flesh. But when Jesus died on the cross, grace made a plain out of that mountain. In other words, grace destroyed sin and the flesh's captivating power. Sin cannot master your life. Besetting sin cannot enslave your life because of the grace of God. But again, the reason why so many fall is because they truly don't understand the King of righteousness, who my righteousness really is. And then they cave into the condemnation. No, the Lord says, when you understand my righteousness and walk in its peace, sin will not have dominion over you. Stand with me this morning. This is my altar call. I just believe maybe it's one, maybe it's many. But I just believe there's some people here discouraged this morning because, like Brother Hamp said, you've taken your eyes off the superiority of the blood. Maybe you're in a time of great temptation. Maybe you're struggling with an issue of in your heart, an issue with flesh. And the enemy is calm and just bombarding your mind with condemnation. You know what? If you was a godly person, you wouldn't be having these kind of thoughts. If you was a godly person, you wouldn't be struggling with this area in your life. And he's bombarding you with condemnation. But the Lord wants you to understand, to get your eyes off his lies and put your eyes back on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You are righteous, holy, acceptable in the eyes of the Lord. And you're going to have to settle it once and for all. You have a sin nature. There will be times of temptation. But you are righteous in the sight of God. And you do not have to listen and cave into the condemnation. You can walk in the peace and the strength of that. I am righteous in the sight of my God. If you're going through a trial, whatever it is, if you're just under this load of condemnation, you just need to come this morning and say, Lord, I'm getting my eyes back on who I am in Christ. I am righteous. And maybe there's someone here this morning. Maybe you've been overtaken in a fall. Maybe you fell. And what the Lord wants you to do this morning is he wants you to repent with a sincere heart. Put it back under the blood. And he wants you to come back into the rest of your righteousness in Jesus Christ. And I say that in the authority of the Word of God. The Word of God says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And his blood cleanses us from all sin. So this morning, if you're just in the battle of your life, doesn't have to be temptation with the flesh and sin. Just maybe you're just going through a discouragement. The enemy's just trying to bring condemnation. The Lord wants you to just come to the altar and say, God, you know what? I give this condemnation to you, and I just put my eyes back on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I am perfectly righteous. Or if you're here this morning and you've taken a fall, come and repent with a sincere heart. Put your eyes back on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So if that's you this morning, or if anything I've said this morning touched your heart in any kind of way, and you just feel like you need to pray, I want you to just come this morning and let's give it to the Lord right now. Whatever your need is this morning, just take a moment and let's give it to the Lord. Amen. You that come, let me just pray for you. Lord, I want to pray. Father, the enemy is such a master at it. He's such a master of tempting us and bombarding us and at the same time accusing us and condemning us. And God, sometimes when the warfare is intense, it can be overwhelming. God, I pray against the accusations of the enemy. I pray against the lies of the enemy. God, I pray right now, Lord, you would break its power by this truth that you've sown into our hearts this morning. That God, we are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God, in times when we're not in temptation, we are absolutely righteous in your eyes. In times when we're having to battle temptation, we are absolutely righteous in your eyes. And God, I just pray that that truth and that peace would just get deep down within our heart. And God, whether we're walking in clear days of sunshine or cloudy days with many shadows, God, that peace would just be in our heart. That I am absolutely pleasing to my Heavenly Father. God, I pray like Jesus Christ, Lord, when he went into his time of temptation. Lord, he had an open heaven, and God, and he got such a clear word in his heart. This is my son who absolutely pleases me. And God, I pray that in times of our own temptation, God, you would give us that same open heaven. And God, we would hear your spirit clearly speak to our heart. This is my son. This is my daughter. And they are absolutely pleasing in my sight. And God, I pray with that revelation of the Father's pleasure, God, we would just find our strength. through the power of the Holy Spirit, we would find our strength, God. And Lord, we would just come out, Lord. I'm just reminded of Christ coming out of his time of temptation. And the Bible says that he come out in the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that we would come out of our times of temptation, God, with a greater authority. God, a greater authority, spiritual power placed upon our life. Lord, to destroy the works of the enemy. God, I pray that those who have come to this altar, I pray that you would just bring peace to their mind and peace to their heart. God, we need just have to understand it, Lord. We do have a flesh that we have to deal with. But God, just because there are times we have to deal with it, God, we do not have to fall into condemnation. We do not have to fall to the lies of the enemy. We are absolutely pleasing and holy in your sight, God. And Father, I pray that that would be the peace of our heart. God, I pray, Lord, whatever battles my brothers and sisters are going through, God, I pray that your peace would just come upon their mind, and come upon their heart. God, I pray for the power of the blood. I pray that you would just, God, by the power of your blood, God, you would break every lie. You would break every voice, God. You would break every word of condemnation, God. And that you would just break those strongholds over the heart and mind. And God, that your peace would just come in. God, I pray that we would get into the Word of God. Lord, we would look at these scriptures about being righteous. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And I pray as we get into these scriptures and pray and meditate, God, I pray that it would get down into our heart. And God, we would begin to walk in the peace and the joy of knowing that we are righteous in Jesus Christ. God, what a strength that peace is to our heart. What a strength that peace is to our heart, God. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, God. And we thank you for your faithfulness, God. And Lord, just continue to minister to them, Lord. Minister to them your peace, Lord God. Minister to them your peace. Minister to them your peace, Lord. Right now, Lord, minister to their heart your peace, God. Minister to it, Lord. Listen, everybody, not just you that come to the altar. The Lord does not want you going out of here heavy this morning. The Lord wants you to understand that you are his son, you are his daughter, and he is pleased with you. And you know what? For a lot of Christians, that's hard to say. A lot of Christians have a heart, it's like it chokes in their throat to say, God is pleased with me. God approves of me. I am so pleasing to my Father. So many Christians can't say that. But God wants you to know it. God wants you to know it. God wants you to have that kind of freedom in your heart. No matter what kind of day you're having, God wants you to have that kind of freedom where you just put your hands up and say, I am so pleasing to my Father. I am so pleasing to my Father. And you know what? If you have a hard time saying that, that's because we are bound up by the condemnation of the enemy. But God wants to break those chains. And I just want to encourage you, get into the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. Begin to look at those scriptures. Put those scriptures before your heart. Not being found in my own righteousness, but being found in His righteousness through faith. He who knew no sin became sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of Christ. Get into the Word. Think about those scriptures. Let that truth get into your heart. Break those chains of condemnation in your life. Because I want to tell you something. You are absolutely pleasing to your Heavenly Father. And when that gets into your heart, that is such a strength. No matter what thoughts the enemy tries to come with. And how he tries to accuse you for having those thoughts. No, they're not my thoughts. And I'm pleasing to God.